Welcome to the Power User Podcast, brought to you by NeoWin.net and WinCustomize.com. This week marks the 10th anniversary of Windows 95, and my, how the world has changed in the last 10 years.
Not really.
Returning to the show is Brad Wardell, as you just heard, of Stardock Corporation, and Chris Quillis, Vice President of Software Development at Stardock. Hi, guys. How are you?
Good afternoon.
Oh, you know.
Oh, Brad.
Hi. It's just, I'm tired. I want to go home.
Well, you're
welcome
to go home.
Well, just look at it this way. You have 10 years worth of gray hairs that you didn't have when Windows 95 first came out.
Very true.
And they have more balding areas, too. Which I'm quite certain was caused by Windows 95.
Is that right? Well,
I have to be.
Before we get into that, into why Brad has gone bald in the last 10 years, Chris, what can you give us some background on Windows 95? What led up to it in the first place?
Well, in the early days, there were vacuum tubes. And then there were computers where you shoved in little printed pieces of paper on punch cards that you'd laboriously labored over so that your time-shared computer could spit back out an answer for you sometime quicker than you using a slide rule to get to the answer in the first place.
After that,
as the personal computer market came about, and Microsoft and IBM managed to get together at a propitious time, I guess you could say, for Microsoft, we came up with DOS for many, many years. And lo, it was good, especially once you could have, you know, a partition greater than 32 megabytes on your newfangled direct access storage disks.
And they had 600, you could access 640K of memory.
Whoa, they're fancy pants, boy. Some of us only had 512K in our XTs. But
yeah, that's right. Commodore 64, you know.
As time went on, and Microsoft, you know, saw other things that were going on in the computer industry, most notably at Xerox PARC and with the Macintosh, they decided that they should have some of this fancy GUI action that was going on as well. And in conjunction with IBM, they set about, you know, building a platform for the future, both in terms of Windows as one layer to bring people into the GUI, and IBM's OS2 operating system, which was initially developed in conjunction with Microsoft, to provide a more stable, powerful business class platform for where everything would go in the future. And as time went on, Microsoft and IBM no longer quite saw eye to eye on where those OSs would go, most notably because Microsoft was having a great deal of success with their light little version of OS2 that was called Windows. And they split. And it was kind of a messy divorce, as divorces are prone to be. A lot of screaming, a lot of acrimony, the kids not knowing, you know, who to love anymore. But
Mom and Dad fighting all the time.
You're tearing us apart.
But as we got into the 90s and they went their separate ways, everybody had a chance to really try and do things right again. And, well, Microsoft failed at that with Windows 95. All the while, they were working on, you know, the good version of Windows, Windows NT, but they needed something to go on those computers with 4 megabytes of RAM and a reason to sell upgrades to Microsoft Word from your DOS version. Which brings us up to Windows 95, the fall of 95. I'd returned to college, the freshman girls were arriving, and the birds were singing in the trees. And somehow, for some reason, we were standing in long lines at midnight outside of a CompUSA, waiting for a box of software.
Don't tell me you were doing that. You were one of those people?
No, of course not. I was running OS 2 at the time. But
that's right.
It made for a better story.
I see. Yeah, you know, because I was hoping to pick up chicks there, but I don't think there are any chicks there. It takes a certain type of person to wait in line to buy the latest, you know, marketing, whatever, yes.
But, I mean, make no mistake. At the time, this, you know, we've seen things like, you know, you wait in line at midnight for the Harry Potter books now or for Lord of the Rings to show or the Star Wars movies. But in the mid-90s, that was one of the earlier cultural events that was manufactured that said you need to be here to do this even if you don't exactly know why.
And Windows 95 had a tortured development process because Microsoft had Windows 3.1. And Windows 3.1 had a completely different look and feel. It was a very primitive shell called Program Manager, and it multitasked barely with something called cooperative multitasking, which means that programs had to literally give up time to the CPU so that other programs could take their turn. DOS programs actually could be multitasked in their own virtual machines. This is Windows 3.1. But all Windows programs ran in the same memory space, which was meant that if one program caused a problem, it could bring them all down. And the only people who, you know, at the time, the only other people who thought that was tolerable were Macintosh users. Here comes the, you know, the required Mac bashing for this episode. But,
oh, dear.
Yeah, I mean, Mac actually had cooperative multitasking in one memory space up until OS X, or there, you know, thereupon I had lost track in System 9 or whatever. But Windows 95 changed that. It had some basic memory protection in there, and it could preemptively multitask Windows programs. And that was pretty amazing at the time, but not as amazing as the beta of Windows 95, which was called Chicago. Do you remember that, Chris? Chicago.
I remember 2 years of Chicago articles about how it was coming soon and it was going to change my life.
Yes, and it cured cancer, let you pick up chicks, the whole nine yards.
PC computing. When did PC computing have its preview? You know, of like it was coming real soon now. Like
COMDEX 93. Yep, I remember that. And it actually was a lot more powerful during the betas than what finally came out, because they weren't worried. The compatibility slowly made it more and more wimped out. But during the beta, it was actually a little bit more robust. Than what finally came out, but it was a lot less compatible. And in the end, compatibility won out, and Microsoft basically took the view of, well, if you really need that much robustness, get Windows NT. Yeah, the thing is that what really was Windows 95? So it's 10 years ago this August, and it was essentially the shell ended up being what was, not to offend people, but, kind of a ripoff of OS2's workplace shell. It kind of looked similar to OS2's enhanced shell, but didn't have anywhere near the functionality, but it was good enough. The question had been taking over our mindshare for the past 3 years, whether we'd be running, what would be the successor of DOS, Windows, or OS2, was pretty much answered when, in August 1995, when people saw Windows 95, and even though it wasn't as good as OS2, it was good enough, and it was a hell of a lot more polished than OS2 was.
And it came preloaded on their Packard Bell.
That is
important, yeah.
And it had a cool rock. Didn't it have a rock song like "Shut Me Down"?
"Shut Me Down." They licensed "Start Me Up" from the Rolling Stones for, I believe, at the time, the unprecedented price of $30 million. Was it?
Well, that's right. And the rest is history, and now we're running Windows XP, which looks remarkably similar to Windows 95 in many ways. Still has a start bar, still has the recycle bin, still has My Computer.
I'm running Windows Vista. There's no more My Computer. Now it's just Computer. Digging through there, I did find the progman.exe file in the system directory, which I understand is there for compatibility with apps that might want to use its icons, though it doesn't actually run anything itself these days, we hope.
I suppose, was Windows 95 the first operating system that kind of set the tone for everything that's come after it? Was it significantly different than what had come before?
It was significantly different than any version of Windows that came before it, and today we are running the environment we enjoy today that, you know, has been borrowed by many, especially in Linux, has its roots traced back to Windows 95.
Well, excellent. Thank you both, Chris. That was very good information. And, you know, we really should tip our hats to Microsoft, as much as we joke about them being, you know, the evil overlords. And I suppose to some extent they could actually be considered evil overlords.
Now
they're reformed evil overlords.
Oh, well, there
right.
we go.
Well, once the they conquered OS2, they inherited the territory that OS2 used to occupy. And as serfs of that territory,
exactly.
We now are owned and controlled by Microsoft in every way. So all hail Bill Gates
and everything and all the words coming out of your mouth right now.
I can be useful finding people to toil in their sugar mines.
Right, exactly. I can make myself useful. All right, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening, everyone. This podcast was brought to you by NeoWin.net and WinCustomize.com. Support us by subscribing to us on iTunes, PodNova, or Odeo.com. Look for us every week at www.poweruser.tv.